He will one day get his hands on another trumpet too, and he might be able to play this instrument even more proficiently or neglect it once again. Death is a natural event in any case, even if we're dealing with an accident or the result of an illness. God does not determine the length of one's existence, time does. That is to say, time runs out because the physical body is no longer able to perform its functions. Theologians have come up with and handed down to posterity all sorts of ideas. Their deliberations are, however, incorrect, they are figments of their imagination. Even when dealing with death, one has to differentiate between theory and practice. Practice is far removed from theory in this case. Has anyone ever managed to verify that consciousness is tied to physical matter, respectively that physical matter begets consciousness? Who will assert that UGHTS represents something visible and tangible, because you have vinyl records or tape recorders? Where are the molecules or electrons that constitute UGHT? UGHT, being part of consciousness, is a complete product made up of microvibrations that are a part of consciousness that can be conducted through a functioning nervous system. Of what use is it to somebody paralyzed from the waist down to his consciousness can produce the firm UGHT to lift one or both legs 100 times over? He will not be successful. However, if he can no longer move his legs, who'll assert then that this wish, this UGHT, this command to the muscles and nerves no longer exists at all? I can tell you that consciousness can be completely separated from the body. It also exists with the reaction of a body. But it has nothing to do with the consciousness itself. If the whole body of a dead person now no longer reacts, if not one single cell reacts to its consciousness, consciousness is alive, it represents life. This is why every deceased person is alive. Even UGH, the body is no longer at its disposal. Consciousness can no longer express itself UGH, an unusable body. You will now counter by saying that your scientists must surely have clarified the mystery death represents. They certainly have not unanimously confirmed that life after death is a fact. But who tells you that these scientists are actually capable of coming to such a logical conclusion? The same scientists employ all their mental powers to bring about the annihilation of mankind. They contemplate superlative methods of annihilation. They provide politics with the powerful means to dominate the world. They prepare all wars. They condone the abuse of dangerous drugs. They demonstrate daily that they are dangerous enemies to life and to terror's whole existence. You show the same blind faith in your scientists you show the philosophical nonsense theologians provide you with when they conceive one dogma after another. Well beyond this, you are willing and ready to adopt all deliberations made by politicians and sociologists because you assume that they can think more logical than the rest of you put together. Only practice verifies whether the theory is correct or amiss. The praxis in your world verifies that your responsible thinkers jump from one wrong conclusion to another. Those that are not positively informed about death cannot think logically, because all questions in regards to their human existence must inevitably bring the wrong results. They might well concoct something beastly against people, they can invent something bodacious, they can calculate and avail themselves of the benefits of technology or the natural sciences. But in the final analyses they cannot come to the right conclusions, because the result will completely overturn their existing attitude to life. The slightest doubt in God and in the survival of the soul after death condemns man to illogical UGHTS in regards to all questions of the human existence. When a priest or a minister delivers a sermon at a gravesite, he naturally talks about the soul of the deceased. I am, however, aware that these priests and theologians have no real concept whatsoever about the soul. Almost all of them are of the opinion that the soul enters a period of sleep after a person's demise, that it doesn't even dream, but that it remains in deep unconsciousness. But, God willing, billions of souls will be awakened one after the other, or all at the same time, at an undetermined day of judgment. During an egregious juridical hearing, more than half these souls will then be immersed in a fiery, liquid blaze to eternally broil and bubble, whilst an infinitesimally small number will be accommodated in heaven, a place of extreme pleasures, a delight-witty ending. What is even worse is the concept that souls remain next to the decaying bodies in the grave. What next? To if you would only have an inkling of how illogical this nonsense is. To it is simply hair-raising that mature people can believe and even fanatically defend and disseminate such incredible nonsense. God's representative, namely Christ, gave you a clear answer to this. Christ said to the two companions crucified next to him, "I promise you that today you will be in paradise with me." To paradise is of course a positive sphere within the spiritual realm. Judgment Day isn't mentioned here at all. Judgment Day is the day of one's terrestrial demise. It is a ceremonial entering into one's spiritual life. It is the great day of one's return to the actual, basic condition of one's human existence. Your experience can and has verified this on a daily basis. The backward races, I mean native tribes living in jungles, are better orientated than most university professors. They are aware of the existence of another sphere of existence. They entertain daily contact with the spiritual side of the vital, physical world. All they fear is the vengeance of their departed relatives who announce their presence over again. Your university professors, however, say that the people of these native tribes are incapable of correct UGHT and that they only imagine this spiritual side of their world. These university professors and pundit can, however, never ever verify these illusions within the brain too, and this brings us back to vague assumptions. Praxis, however, verifies whether this assumption is correct or amiss. These native tribes had the same experience a million times over. Even UGH, they are spatially separated from one another by great distances. The existence of the soul with its consciousness can be verified in every human being throughout the world. One may, however, not make the mistake of looking for the soul or consciousness within the brain of people. The brain is merely a physical conductor between the soul and the body. Every cell of the brain reacts to specific processes within the cosmic consciousness of man, or it telegraphs physical stimulations back to the soul. Let's look at a major religious sect that bases its beliefs lock, stock and barrel on the Bible. Its interpretation concerns Judgment Day, when almost all of mankind is supposed to end up in hell. This particular sect is incomprehensibly large. Millions of people unconditionally believe this nonsensical interpretation that is not backed by one single piece of practical evidence. They do not give their interpretation credit because their own logic convinces them, but because they are unstable, uncritical people that have a piousness fad and are immoderately afraid of the hellish mire they are supposed to stew in one day. They believe out of fear, because fire hurts. They know the meaning of burns, and the fact that this situation is supposed to last forever makes it worse. We call this a mean scare tactics. Once people have fallen prey to this logic, one can do with them whatever one wants to. One can even turn them into fanatics and employ their services anywhere, because due to their illogic, they are incapable of judging these things objectively. I am aware that my explanations will also be condemned. One will discuss them in church circles and say that these are heresies from hell. I, however, appeal to your common sense, but my words will be in vain where this common sense is lacking. But meanwhile, I will continue to do my eminent duty. Next headline is The Truth About Death. Death is only a word and its concept is wrong. You understand death to be the complete dissolution of body or spirit. There is, however, no complete dissolution, but in all cases only a transformation. There is no such thing as nothing throughout the universe, respectively throughout the cosmos. Consciousness with all its UGHT processes is not produced by the brain, it is only channeled through the brain. Therein lays the cardinal mistake. Death unfortunately represents a great uncertainty to you. Physical human death is, however, always a certainty. A particular characteristic of death is that the organic body sheds its invisible energies. These energies control the body up to then. Those that suffer because they fear death have no insight that might help them. They live in a world of false concepts, in a world of lies. This uncertainty is the greatest and the most momentous mistake that can ever exist. This uncertainty creates a false world, one that opposes God's plan, and it controls it through its aberrations. I find it difficult to find the right words to describe this terrible situation in more detail. The things mankind is asked to put up with through this are pure hell. All of my explanations demand that I strictly adhere to your vocabulary in order to be understood at all. It is urgently required that mankind on earth finds out the truth about death. A scientific explanation is a sacred duty and assignment, and it is absolutely akin to performing a hygienic act, because it performs a service for the human soul. Theology is an utter and irresponsible failure in regards to this important affair. Science must create order here once and for all, because the people on earth can otherwise never release themselves from the shackles of their mutual, deadly animosities. I am convinced that half the people in hospitals can be sent home once clarity finally reigns over the mystery death seemingly represents. This is just one more reason why medicine will balk at my explanations with all its might, in as far as we're not dealing with idealists, that is to say, with mankind's genuine divine servants. Governments are of the opinion that death, for instance, represents the best means to make nations and people amenable according to government's wishes and designs. This is the reason why governing bodies are not particularly interested in the corresponding explanations about what death is really about. On the contrary, governing bodies are more interested in people continuing to fear death with its terrible uncertainty. I call upon everybody to procure certainty in this regards, and this with all possible means. Death is naturally a state that is not easily recognized for what it is from the perspective of a physical existence. Dead people, however, continue to live. They are not interminably separated from you to a degree where they cannot make themselves known within certain limitations. To undertake research into eternal life is a mere trifle, respectively easy compared to the extremely difficult things you have already been able to delve into. I suggest that when it comes to delving into this bodacious assignment, you should apply the same ambitions and you will be successful. A lot has already been achieved in this field of knowledge. You are unfortunately caught in the tow current of conjectural philosophies. You do not require any philosophy, they are absolutely useless to you. But you do require the truth, real facts, in order to get on with one another peacefully and in order to progressively evolve spiritually and physically. A real human being, one according to plan, looks entirely different, in contrast to other humanities on other planets. You are still in a state of sadistic barbarity. Take the best amongst you as your archetypes and comprehend that humanness is only showing its beginning within these archetypes. Those that are uncertain about death live in a spiritual darkness that makes it nearly impossible to recognize the truth. Allegedly intelligent people engage themselves in preparations for war. They invent weapons that make it possible in the near future to annihilate people en masse. They are engineers of death and perdition. On a personal level, however, they have not the slightest idea what so-called death is in reality. If they were aware of it, they would feel extremely stupid and beyond that, abhor all their ughts and actions. You will now counter what I say by saying that a threatened nation must protect and safeguard itself against an enemy. The way your world is built on ignorance in regards to the most important questions and answers, this is quite understandable. Even it is certainly not correct. Therefore, before you can change this hostile situation in any way, you must make an attempt to eliminate this ignorance about death. This is the real peace movement. Only elucidation can bring about a change on this planet, because your ignorance in regards to the most important facets of your society leads you even further into the labyrinth of animosity and superlative destruction. This ignorance led you into this situation. This is at the root of the dire situation your world is in. You must therefore grab this evil by its roots and replace your ignorance with cognizance. This is the only way animosities will cease, and this is the only way you will be able to correctly identify your failed development. Once you have accomplished this, you can destroy your weapons, because their absurdness will be revealed to you. Death and the threat it represents are the most important characteristics of your whole human existence. Billions are collected and utilized for this purpose. The real extent of this is incalculable and is something you cannot oversee looking from the spiritual sector's point of view of your existence. If death plays such a major role with you, we ask ourselves the question of what role does your actual life play if is it so subordinate? Various governments are dealing with the question of whether capital punishment is justifiable. The same governments, however, do not ask whether capital punishment for whole nations or even for all of mankind is justifiable. This type of capital punishment is not directed at criminals, but at innocent people. Well, even at children. How can a government or a political leadership clearly ascertain whether their idealistic efforts and aims are really correct, if they do not even have an inkling of man's essence and not the slightest idea of what man's death is all about? Government systems are created and laws are put into effect without knowing the reality of human beings, respectively where human beings' actual destiny lays. No human being has to live and learn to then be dead forever. This is illogical nonsense. Let's take an example. A celebrated sociologist, Karl Marx, designs plans for mankind's future on this terror. All he comes up with seems logical and worthwhile to pursue. His proposals are expanded upon and the running of the government is based on them. One now actually believes that this sociological masterpiece is the best way to promote the masses' progress. But what does the reality look like from the perspective of the truth? The above-mentioned sociologist has no idea about the real universal existence of man. He was not aware of the truth. He knew nothing about life and man's reason for being and just as little about death, which he was just unconscious nothingness. He only knew about things he could see. He knew nothing invisible, he wasn't even aware of the secret of atomic energies. He neither knew of the opportunities of television, nor the opportunities of launched satellites. He was hardly a natural scientist and least of all a psychologist. He was in reality a discontented, ignorant and mainly unwanted human being who contemplated a better future for mankind, but who knew nothing more about this human race but that it didn't exactly find things easy on Earth, with the exception of a few who lived of the fat of the land. This sociologist came up with a plan for all mankind. He dared to tackle problems he knew nothing about. He did not believe in God and not in a life after death. He denied the existence of the soul and the human existence on earth was just for a limited period of time that began with one's birth and ended with absolute finality with one's demise. Well, he didn't know that other planets can also offer viable conditions. He looked at mankind's life on earth with these deficient insights and only from the perspective of rich and poor. He wanted to create a balance between these two contrasts by having the rich forfeit their private possessions to benefit the poor. His plan for mankind was not dictated by his love for people, but by his hatred of affluence to and his contempt for the church, because its insincerity abhorred him. I turn to every judiciously thinking person. I ask, how is it possible and justifiable that an individual person can outline the future of a whole human race, that he can prescribe the path and determine the means to its realization, if he knows just about nothing about people, mankind and the divine recreational plan? The incalculable results of such a frivolous observation are still felt all over the world. You will encounter the real results brought about by this prescribed false development when it will be energetically brought to a halt with all possible means. What did this sociologist know about the actual assignment individual people are confronted with during their life on Earth? What did he know about reincarnation? What did he know about life after death and the giving of full account of one's earthly existence that the spiritual realm demands would he fail? He could only hope to find support for these promises of a better future with the ignorant of your world. The ignorant form the majority and this is why it is such a vigorous success. They think exactly along the same lines as he does. They do not know the truth and allow themselves to be blinded by the promised brilliance of an aberration. This sociologist wanted to offer mankind a heaven on earth, because he considered a heaven in the spiritual realm pure fantasy. The death of people actually represents their birth in a new form. It is Judgment Day. The day to say goodbye to tangible physical matter. Physical matter, however, still remains visible in spite of this. It is an exchange between two forms of life that still form one world all the same. The material world is left like leaving school. The disembodied can move at a speed that is beyond that of light. He can now move with the speed of UGHD if he has the freedom, that is to say, if he not tied to the earth due to a wasted life on earth. This can only be achieved once a spiritual level of development has been reached that offers him this freedom. Create more clarity about man's death and you will solve all your problems on earth. This is the only way you will take away the fear of death. Absolute ignorance in regards to man's life and death seduces people UGHTS to all sorts of illogical and misanthropic deformities. The sociologist has no qualms in regards to applying any type of brutality to achieve his aims. A destructive state government only recently showed no qualms about using every possibly form of inhumanity, because it had no idea about what life was all about and therefore also no respect for life, for man's activity and man's death. Ghastly death demanded its fill. Death was as despised as it was hated. Millions of people were tormented by letting them starve, by leaving their wounds untreated and by demoralizing them, well, by inhumanly gassing and cremating them. These were families, women and children. All of this could take place because people had no idea about the reality of the human existence and life's tasks and because scientists refuse to deal with this. And this is so because they don't want to know anything about life and death that goes beyond their own interests. I can prophesy that these terrible abominations can and will be surpassed by far, if you do not create clarity in regards to this human problem. The Eastern Region of Germany, 1962, is already in the process of continuing with this negative way of thinking and by putting it into practice. Its government endorses this archetype of ungodliness and ignorance and it will gradually surpass this folly unless it comes to its senses. If it only lasts from being born on earth to the day of his demise, man's existence is worth nothing more than a piece of meat that is eventually eaten by worms or turned to ash through fire. To the content of this piece of meat, the immortal ethereal substance of life and consciousness is allegedly unexplored and unrecognized, while the elite within the sciences simply deny its existence. Nation's willingness to live in peace can never prevail if man's spirit is not recognized for what it really is. You have no respect for the immortality of your spirit, whom you only acknowledge in monuments and obituaries. The account that is demanded from all of you is no idle threat, but the foundation of a divine order and universal justice. Men and women of science, I call upon you to engage in self-help. Do not solely depend on theology. Theology does not undertake take one step on behalf of the truth. It created a false concept for itself that it is prepared to deviate from. Even UGH it already senses that it is incorrect. One is quite content to see people making their contribution at church or see them bequeath their estate to the church. The major religions promise something people find difficult to check up upon. The salvation through the Messiah's blood is a dogma. Do not depend on such dogmas. They are just philosophies and they neither offer you the truth nor security. If the sciences on earth assert a claim on honor and conscience, I appeal to this alleged honor and particularly to its questionable conscience. Ignorance pushes this human race inevitably into an abyss. The arrogance or so-called intellectuals represents a danger to the world. Nobody can avoid the spiritual regions. Many will not find a moment's peace there. Because once you're there, you will blame yourself for having completely failed in regards to the most important things during your earthly existence. Whom will you blame then? Will you blame everything on the fact that your teachers have let you down? Neither fame nor fortune can make you happy, because not one soul misses out on what it is due based on its individual development. The spiritual realm will make up whatever has not been fulfilled on earth. If you do not want to listen to the voice of a prophet, at least listen to people that are far advanced of your own development. Do you want to help, support and advise underdeveloped nations? We regard all of you as being underdeveloped human beings, and we also want to support and advise you. Therefore, accept our advice. The path that leads us to you might be unusual, but it is necessary in order to comprehend the mystery of the immortal soul. Our security measures are absolutely justified, because we made detailed studies of your mentality and of the way you think. Nobody wants to risk too much unnecessarily too, and this also applies to us. The Bible states that a cherub spoke to a prophet. A cherub once again speaks to you. Who wants to doubt this? Do you do not want to comprehend that we travel through space to other star systems too, but you already spent billions towards the same intentions? You do not want to accept that we can already do the things you wish you could do. At any rate, in regards to insights into controlling the required forces and energies, we have an enormous head start. We have very good reasons to not land on Terra according to your wishes and imaginations. All of this can, however, change in the future. We are still in the process of removing the enormous damage done by your nuclear tests. The so-called Van Allen radiation belt that regulates the rotation of Terra has been injured through the explosion of a bomb in the stratosphere. If we would not interfere with our magnetic possibilities, Terra's would have already experienced a shift in its rotation. The people on Earth have undertaken things that have brought chaos to our program. Next headline is, a blasphemy. Politics is certainly not very choosy when it directs its attention against mankind. It utilizes everything that serves its threatening and destructive behaviorism. There are, however, also mental weapons, and they have an equally destructive effect as well. Red communism is the master in this respect. It prepares an intellectual meal for the masses that is full of poison. Those that partake from it go to rack and ruin. You will probably not believe me when I tell you that spirit intelligences are behind this, that are engaged in serving destruction. What does red communism know about the intellectual opposite polarity of goodness? Every human being reaches a point where medicine will not help any longer. All human beings can get into a state of desperation that robs them of their last hope. What should such a person cling to when their only foothold in life has been taken away from them? Red communism takes away the very last foothold of every human being that allows itself to be influenced by it, well, even their self-respect and their self-affirmation. Its intention is to make people depend on the state to such a degree that the state occupies the highest level within their mental capacity, that is to say, the representatives of the state that act as its advocates. The government is then not just God's representative, it actually takes God's place, thereby giving it the power to decide over life and death. Where is the visible hand that condemns a person to a life in Siberia? To the state is such a visible hand. It has the power to do this. And this is supposed to verify to mankind that the government represents the highest authority on Earth? The universe is completely forgotten in the process. The spiritual regions have also been completely left out the picture. Mankind has unfortunately so little precognition that it is utterly unable to recognize that this is a blasphemy. The truth is a stranger. The majority growing up under these conditions accept this ungodliness and presumption. Well, it actually admires this nonsense. Where no yardsticks are available, nothing can be measured. The people do not have yardsticks, and the government does not allow yardsticks anyway. The result is that God will abandon them, because they have rejected him. The spiritual connectivity to the Creator and his world of spirit is lacking. The fact that terrestrial man's UGHT processes are very slow shows up over again. He focuses his attention too much on physical matter. He closes his mind in regards to the invisible activities of the spiritual regions. The influence of ignorant teachers is so powerful that humility is replaced by arrogance. Space is so incredibly vast that man, in his minuteness, has all the more reason to be humble. But he isn't humble. He closes his mind against this fact. He refuses to accept the conclusion that he is confronted with a majestic eminence. He derides the intangible that actually demands this reverence and this humility. This barricade brought about through willfulness and through arrogance naturally undermines logic. Acceptable results are then only those that others have calculated for him. He does not endeavor to come to his own conclusions about whether the bill of fare is correct. Those that do not recalculate their bill of fare must pay it as it stands, even if they have to part with their last penny to do so.